This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. This is Front Row on The Bigger Picture. I'm Sharmila Ganesan. The problems women face in the workplace often remain unseen, particularly when it comes to pregnancy and motherhood discrimination. With an exhibition called Invisible Women, the Women's Aid organization is using art to visualize these issues. Joining me today is Tan Hyang Lee, Communications Officer with the WAO, to talk about these stories and statistics of gender discrimination and how they were turned into art. Hi, Hyang Lee. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you for having me on the show.
I'm curious about this idea of translating these stories and statistics into art. Could you tell me a little bit more about the works that are being shown in Invisible Women?
So, you know, our campaign really has three main components to it. So firstly, you know, we launched a microsite in February calling for women to share their stories of motherhood and pregnancy discrimination in the workplace. So, you know, we got lots and lots of stories of women, you know, sharing their experiences because we know how prevalent this issue is. Then from there, you know, we collected these stories and displayed them in the format of a CV. So we had this massive, you know, hanging CV display where visitors to the exhibition can read through the various stories of gender discrimination in the workplace. So the idea is that, you know, CVs are often the summation of our greatest achievements, right? You know, we put in, you know, our accolades, our awards, the projects we've led, and so on and so forth. But for many mothers and pregnant women, all their accomplishments and accolades are often overlooked and, you know, dismissed once they reveal that, you know, they are pregnant or they have young children to take care of. So I think this, you know, goes to show how all these accomplishments are made invisible for many women.
What kind of research thus far exists out there in terms of the differences between women who are mothers or are pregnant versus women who aren't?
Yeah, so there was a really fascinating study done by researchers in Cornell. And what they did was they generated pairs of CVs. So these CVs had, you know, equivalent credentials, equivalent accomplishments. And in one CV, they included a line saying that the applicant is a member of the Parent Teacher Association. So that implies that the applicant is a parent. In the other CV, they included a line saying that the person is a fundraiser in a neighborhood association. So they had pairs of CVs, similar credentials, and they compared mothers versus women without children. And they then compared fathers versus men without children. And they got research participants to evaluate these CVs on a range of different measures. So the results were that mothers compared to women without children were seen as less competent, less committed. They were also held to harsher performance and punctuality standards. So they were not allowed to be late as many days. You know, they needed to have a higher score on the management exam to be considered hireable. They were also given a lower recommended starting salary and were rated as less promotable and less likely to be recommended for management. So it's really shocking. Maybe not shocking, but it's really eye-opening, you know, to have this empirical evidence of what, you know, women go through. And just to show you the contrast, how does parenthood impact men? So fathers, compared to men without children, on the other hand, were perceived as more committed. They were allowed to be late more times compared to men without children. And fathers were offered higher starting salaries.
So when it comes to the workplace, being a father is an advantage, but being a mother seems to translate to being a disadvantage.
Yeah, so social scientists call this the motherhood penalty and the fatherhood bonus.
I understand that the campaign is promoting the drafting of a Gender Equality Act.
Yeah.
Could you tell us a little bit more about this act and why it's so important?
Yeah, so currently women in the private sector are not protected from gender discrimination. So we don't have any specific laws that specifically prohibits gender discrimination in the private sector. So as you can imagine, you know, there are so many women out there, how many thousands or maybe even millions of women in the private sector who are not protected if they experience any form of discrimination. So it's very important that, you know, we enact a Gender Equality Act that will comprehensively protect women from various forms of discrimination in the private sector and essentially in other sectors as well. So it has to be this comprehensive protection for women.
What are some of the kinds of implementation are you talking about?
Yeah, so Malaysia ratified CEDAW in 1995. So CEDAW is the UN Convention on the Elimination of All Forms of Discrimination Against Women. It's quite a mouthful. So, you know, as a country that has ratified CEDAW, it's important that the Act incorporates the standards of CEDAW. We also want to ensure that the Act prohibits gender discrimination in all fields, including the private sector. And it's not just enough to say, you know, no one can discriminate on the basis of gender, because, you know, that's not enough, right? Because it's possible that some women out there may still experience discrimination. So in those cases, it's important that women are able to easily get redress without going through a long, tiring and costly process. So for instance, the Act could potentially create mechanisms to ensure women get justice. This can include, for example, a conciliation body, you know, a tribunal, and a commission.
And the campaign does focus on pregnancy and motherhood discrimination. Could you explain what these are and how do they affect a woman's career prospects?
Yeah, so in 2016, WAO did a survey. You know, we surveyed pregnant women. And what we found was that 40% of pregnant women whom we surveyed had experience discrimination in the workplace. And this, you know, can happen in various forms. You know, for instance, their employers had made their positions redundant, they had denied them promotions, placed them on prolonged probation, demoted them, you know, terminated their jobs.
And you're saying all this was because of either them becoming pregnant or having children and having to shoulder the responsibility of motherhood?
Yeah, so of course, you know, these are, you know, what, you know, it's hard to really like pinpoint because, you know, employers are not going to say because you are pregnant. Of course, you know, in some cases it can be that clear. But I think, you know, this, you know, due to sequences of events, you know, there are some people, you know, they have been offered a job. And once, you know, maybe they find out, you know, 2 weeks later that they're pregnant and they inform their employers. And at that point, employers tell them, we need to get back to you on that. We'll let you know. And then, you know, their offers get rejoined. Actually, these are some of the stories whom women shared on their microsite that is displayed, you know, on an art exhibition. I think even some stories of, you know, pregnancy tests being included in the medical examination that certain employees need to go through.
Are you serious?
So I think that was some of the stories that women shared.
Wow.
Yeah.
And what was the process of translating these stories into art?
Yeah, so, you know, we had different exhibits in the exhibition. The main exhibit is this, you know, massive hanging CV display. I think, you know, there are just like tons and tons of CVs just hanging there for people to read. So that's the main exhibit. You know, we wanted to show how, what is the implications of employers discriminating pregnant women. So, you know, we took scrunched up CVs. And then, you know, we formed this shadow. It's kind of hard to explain verbally, but essentially, you know, we position these scrunched up CVs, and then we shine a light on these scrunched up CVs, and on a panel, it's a shadow of a pregnant woman, or a pregnant woman. So, you know, to show that, you know, when we discard women's CVs, we are discarding real people, and what are the implications of that? You know, we've had a section. So the theme is invisible women. You know, how women are made to feel invisible in a workplace. You know, for instance, if you have a woman who has taken time off to take care of her kids, and when she wants to reapply for a job to get back into the workforce, she may not get callbacks, so she's made to feel invisible. So we have this mannequin where we sort of put her in white and sort of blend her against the backdrop just to show visually, the concept of being an invisible woman. But the point is that, you know, facts and figures, you know, they are compelling to a point, but they don't necessarily resonate with, you know, everyone, because, you know, stats and figures, they are important, of course. And we wanted to find a way to convey all these things in a way that not just captures people's minds, but also their hearts. And we wanted to use, you know, creative communications and compelling storytelling to show this issue, to put it out there in ways that people will not be able to ignore. So that's really the I guess, the vision behind this project.
And how effective do you think that has been? Mm-hmm. And how do these campaigns of this type, what kind of change can they prompt from us?
Yeah, so I think, you know, a tangible outcome that we really hope is to really see progress in the, you know, in the drafting, tabling, and hopefully passing of the Gender Equality Act. So I think if that goes through, you know, that would be, yeah, an amazing outcome. So that's one, you know, on the public policy front. I think another thing is that, you know, if we are talking about this and in the process, you know, empowering women to share their stories, to share, you know, to speak up and to amplify their voices. We've had story contributors, you know, when they wrote their stories, they said, you know, this is the first time in 10 years or more that I've actually told my story. And I think that's also very powerful when women feel that, you know, this is not my fault. You know, this is an injustice that has been done against me. And, you know, I'm not alone. This is a prevalent issue. And I'm going to talk about it and to try to push for change through my speaking up. I think that's also very powerful as well. And I also hope that by highlighting these issues, you know, there will be more accountability for employers who do practice discriminatory practices. I think by putting a spotlight on the issue, you know, we hope that we can put a stop to it.
Any final thoughts that you'd like to share with us?
Yeah, so, you know, we really hope that those of you out there, you know, would come and check out the art exhibition. So it runs from 10 a.m. To 10 p.m. And it's going to be there until this Sunday on the 18th of March at the White Box Publica. And so do check out our microsite. It's invisiblewomen.com.my. And, you know, go to our Facebook page. Check out the video. Our Facebook page is Women's Aid Organization.
Thank you very much, Yang Lee. I've been speaking to Tan Hyang Lee. She's the communications officer at the Women's Aid Organization. And we were discussing the Invisible Women exhibition. Once again, the website for more information is invisiblewomen.com.my. Now, if you missed any part of this interview or any previous Front Row interviews, you can download the podcasts on our BFM app, which is available on the App Store or Google Play. You've been listening to Front Row on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.